Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise Him all day long. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can save before eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you. And I thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Dear Father, we're so thankful for this day. We are thankful for the time that we have to come together to sing these songs, to praise you, to worship you, and to acknowledge you and your greatness. And we're thankful for each of the folks here and for our family here at Kanawha City. And we pray that for those that are sick, that you can watch over and help them to get heal and get better. For those that are traveling, we have many folks traveling this morning. Watch over them and bring them back to us safely. We pray that our worship this morning is pleasing your sight. And that we take what we learned today and apply it to our lives and bring others to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing the next two songs if it's convenient.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God over all and blessed eternally. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee. Who wast and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God over all, and blessed eternally. Holy Lord, most holy Lord,
you alone are worthy of my praise, O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing,
great are you, Lord, worthy of praise, holy and true. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing,
all of my heart I sing,
great are you, Lord, worthy of praise, holy and true. Great are you, Lord, most holy, all of my heart I sing, great are you, Lord, worthy of praise, holy and true. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord.
Please be seated. Prior to the Lord's Supper, let's sing together, "When We Meet in Sweet Communion."
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, "Do this in my memory." God so loved, what wondrous measure loved and gave the best of heaven, bought us with that matchless treasure, yea, for us his life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
As we prepare to take communion, I want us to dive into what Jesus said during this time. I've thought about what my comments would be this morning, and after prayer and going through God's word, I realized Jesus said it the best. So in John 6, verse 53, starting in verse 53, as he was talking to the Jews, he said, it says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, as we gather together today, as we worship together, we pray that we focus on the sacrifice that you've given to us, Lord. We pray that we focus on the bread which represents your body, that represents the sacrifice, the suffering, the way you died for us on that cross so that we may live, that we may have eternal life, Lord. As we partake, I pray that we all focus on that, that as we go through our week, that we remember that we are alive because of you, that we aren't just alive in this life, Lord, but that you've given us eternal life, that we really have life. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, is there anyone that doesn't have one really quickly? Okay, just making sure. In Matthew 26, as Jesus was talking to his disciples, it says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Please bow with me. Lord, we are so blessed to have you. It is nothing that we have done that has saved us, but it is by your grace, Lord. And as the disciples partook back then, Lord, we partake again, remembering the sacrifice that you've given, remembering your body, remembering the blood that was shed on the cross. And today, as we partake and we drink that cup that represents your blood, we remember that you've already saved us. That it is not what we do when we leave here. It's not what we have done that has saved us, Lord, but it is by your grace. It is by the sacrifice you've given us, Lord. And we pray that we can serve you and be the disciples you call us to be each and every single day as we remember your amazing, incredible sacrifice. Amen. Every time I talk about offerings, I always mention that it is never mandatory, never a mandatory thing, because I believe that it's always about giving from the heart. It's always about giving to our Lord and Savior because of his sacrifice. So as we pray for our offering, we just focus on what we do with what we are blessed with, and that's continuing to serve and continuing to glorify our Lord and Savior. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we are blessed to be here. We are blessed to serve you. We are blessed to know you. We are blessed to be saved. And we just pray that we keep that in mind today as we continue our worshiping you, as we continue our lives going through this week, as we celebrate, as we cry, as we are going through all walks of life, Lord. We remember the amazing sacrifice that you've given to us, Lord. Nothing that we have done has saved us, Lord, but it is by your grace. And we pray that we continue, whether it is in the physical or whatever we may do, that we give back to you, Lord, that we serve through our faith, Lord. Because it is not by what we do that saves us, Lord, but we do out of our faith because you have saved us. We love you, Lord, and we pray that we continue to open our hearts as we worship together. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and offer an opportunity for our kids to make their way out to the kids' class. And as they're doing so, we are going to prepare our minds for the lesson this morning by singing. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time and sing How Great Is Our God. I'll go ahead and mention that Steve Kenny and Leslie are traveling this weekend for Thanksgiving. They are in Colorado Springs, Colorado, visiting their kids. So I think most of you know our speaker, Charles Morris, my dad. So he'll be bringing us the sermon here in a few minutes when we complete singing How Great Is Our God.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Please be seated.
It's always really good to visit Kanawha City. And I'm just glad to be here. And I want to tell you, when we come visiting here, I don't feel like a visitor. I just feel at home. It's a special place. And so I'm glad to be here this morning. And we're going to talk about home just a little bit. But I enjoyed the hymn we just sang. And it kind of points us toward God. And that leads us to a theme of an eternal home in heaven. And have you ever stopped to consider how many songs are written about heaven? You know, I looked it up. I Googled, I love that word, Google something. I Googled the songs about heaven. There must be 100 or more popular songs. The oldest one that I know is My Blue Heaven. Frank Sinatra must have made $1 million off of Pennies from Heaven. Maybe most of our favorite might be Almost Heaven. And we sing that one pretty frequently, All About Heaven. And this morning, as we think about home, we're going to think about eternity and heaven. I'd like for you to cast your vision of what we're going to talk about this morning through a lens that says, this lens that I'm looking at is that the purpose of my life is to prepare for the next life. If we think about the ideas that we're going to share, I'd like for us to consider that through a lens that says, the purpose of my life is to prepare for the next life. And have you thought about all the different ways people think about the next life? A common one is the materialistic view. When we think about heaven, is that there is no next life. And heaven is having a BMW and a home at the beach, $10 million in the bank, and you say, I've made it. That is a materialistic view of heaven. There's a lot of other views, and I think we'll see ultimately a better view, but there's lots of views of heaven. For example, somewhere along the line, we've heard about existentialists. And these folks are that says that heaven is just what you make it. Whatever you make it be, if you're happy with who you are, if you're happy with what you believe, if you're happy with your life, then that's heaven. You know, Confucius, everybody knows Confucius says. And so what did Confucius have to say? Well, Confucius says heaven is a well-ordered life. The Shintos simply said they believe that heaven is the complete Japanese supremacy. Buddhist, heaven is peace. It's achieved by a person who completely ceases to be himself. Heaven is giving up yourself and being at peace. Tao believes that heaven is harmony with all things. Heaven is harmony with all things. Hindus, we have friends who are Hindus, and they'll tell you that the Hindus, the ultimate achievement is found through reincarnation. And that if you have a certain level of goodness in your life, this life, maybe your next life will be reincarnated to a better one. Or if you fall short, your reincarnation will be to a lower level. And we've had lots of conversations about what those levels are and what they ultimately mean. We're very familiar with the Muslim faith and Islam. The material that I've read from the Islam faith says that heaven is the best of all earthly things, all the joys of earth, to be able to be enjoyed indefinitely. Heaven is the best joys of earth indefinitely. Probably a view that we're much more familiar with is the view that God is going to send a Messiah and that he's going to reign from Jerusalem on this earth and that we're looking forward to the Messiah coming. What about you and me? Well, I'm going to suggest that you and I have a different view. You know, we know that we're going to be going to a place that's prepared. It's not random. It just doesn't happen. Jesus said he's going to go prepare a place for us. And it's going to be a place of beauty and prosperity. We're going to be riches beyond what we can imagine. But I'd like for us to think for a minute just about our own home. When we have a home, what do we do? Well, we get the nicest home we can find. And then what do? Well, we take the best that we can and we decorate it to be a pretty place. And we want it to be a place where we can actually feel at home. And we want our guests to feel at home. We want it to be in a safe neighborhood. That's pretty important today. Probably not so important for us, but it is important. But as we look about what's going on in the nation, there's a lot of unsafe places. People want to have the home where their kids and where they are safe. They'd like for it to be pretty close to the things they need. And if they need a hospital, where do they want it to be? They want to get there quickly to the hospital. They want it to not have to worry about having police protection. It's going to be secure. They want a home that meets their needs and where they're comfortable. And as we think about Jesus preparing a home for us, we think that those are considerations that he would make. It's going to be a little nicer than the home we can envision. Calls it a mansion. We're not going to need a police force because there's going to be safety. We're not going to need a doctor because there's not going to be any illness or sickness in this home. And the question then comes up, well, we've got this beautiful home, and what do we do in it? Well, we're going to look at some scriptures that tell us that we're going to be working there, and we're going to be worshiping there, and we're going to be able to say, I'm comfortable there. We have a lot of sermons, and we study a lot, rightly so, of how to get to heaven. And that's not what this sermon is about. It's more about, are we prepared once we get there? So what kind of a heart will we have when we would be in heaven? Well, we have our homes, and we have a heart that relaxes, and we have a heart that has certain features that we like in this earthly home. But our hearts, if we remember, we're looking at this through the lens that says the purpose of my life is to prepare for my next life. And so what kind of a heart might we be preparing for that next life? Well, Can you imagine a hating heart being at home in heaven? That's not going to work out so good. It's going to be a loving heart. Now, loving does not come naturally for most of us. Most of us come to life selfish. We want what we want. We would care for ourselves. But we're taught and learn how to be loving. And so one of the objectives of our life is to develop a loving heart, having a spirit within us that shows love. To whom? Well, shows love to the people who are hungry and homeless, a heart that cares about those who are more downtrodden, those who are facing difficulties, those who have fear in their life. And our life, our hearts could be molded to be calloused and to say, tough luck, it's not my problem. But a loving heart, one that we have trained and has been trained throughout our lives, is one that says, you know, I care about those people. And I'm going to devote my life to showing love. It's much more natural to show love to our family and to the people we're closest with. And we extend that love to our friends. And that's a great step. But a loving heart is one that we develop for all times. So you see, the purpose of this life is to prepare our hearts to be with the person who is love, with the creature, with God, who is love. And that's who's going to be at home in heaven. When we have a heavenly home, we will be comfortable there. And hatred is not going to be comfortable there. Nor neither is being neglectful, a heart that doesn't care. It's a heart that genuinely extends itself to the rest of the world. So a loving heart is going to be an important feature as we think about eternity, being at home in heaven. But there's kind of an interesting feature about this. When Jesus started his ministry, his very first sermon that's been recorded, and the very first words in that sermon simply says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And a heart that is trained and develops purity like a little child is who will see God. Now, a pure heart does not just automatically come. We develop pure hearts through self-control, through our self-discipline, through showing love that helps us then develop a pureness to us. And so you'd see a heart that is corrupt is not going to be at home with God in heaven. It's going to be a heart that has been trained for purity and has developed purity. A little later in that sermon, he says the heart that is thankful is going to be at home in heaven. Last Sunday, I think you were asked to think this week about a question. Why is being thankful good for us? Well, a selfish heart that grabs and wants is not going to be at home in heaven. It's the heart that extends love and extends joy and extends thankfulness. And the scriptures tell us in Revelation that we'll be spending time in heaven being thankful. Now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to also be serving. It's a servant's heart. You remember how Jesus taught his disciples. When he left, he showed them and taught them about he was going to serve them, that they would serve others. And I think I know some folks who have a heart that wants to be served, a selfish heart. But a heart at home in heaven will be a heart that's been trained to serve. You know, the heart that is crafted to worship will be at home in heaven. If we think about never having worshiped, and we go for years and don't worship, how does it feel that first Sunday you come to worship? It's kind of strange. A little self-conscious, a little nervous. Do I belong here? Am I good enough to be here? What's this all about? But then we work through that and we develop a heart that is drawn to praising God. And so to be at home in heaven, we've crafted our hearts to worship. Now, we talk to people about what we're going to do in heaven, and probably the most common answer is we're going to sing. There'll be a lot of singing in heaven. In fact, remember the scriptures tell us that in heaven we'll sing a new song of Moses and the Lamb. Moses and the Lamb being Jesus. And there's going to be a lot of singing and a heart that's designed for joy and service, and a heart at peace. Remember, heaven is going to be total peace. And so if we have a heart that is designed for conflict, a heart that really likes a battle, that really likes to stir up some difficulty or to observe other people having difficulty. Well, I'm going to have to ask you, you think that heart is going to be at home in heaven? No, that heart is going to be a heart that's calloused toward that, and it wouldn't be at home. The heart that's at home in heaven will be a heart at peace and that understands peace and is comfortable and knows how to be in a peaceful environment. And then there's another scripture that it kind of intrigues me, because in the 21st chapter of Revelation, there's a long little passage that says about people who will not be in heaven. And the scripture tells us that the weak of heart, or the cowards, is the most common translation. There's no room for a coward in heaven. That would tell you that it takes a brave heart to be at home in heaven. A heart that can see the right thing to do and has the courage to do it. Now, how many times do we find ourselves saying, well, I know what needs to be done. I know what needs to be said. I can find the right words, but I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to do it. And heaven is going to be at home with the folks who have brave hearts and who aren't cowardly. And so we think about having a heart that we develop that's brave, that has courage. And so as we think about heaven, we think we've got to be at home there. At home in heaven with a heart that's prepared. So what would that heart look like? We'd develop a loving heart. We would have a humble heart. We poured out ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Means that they've just simply poured out their own will. They're without their own will and have placed that with God's will. His spirit has taken over, and they'll see God. A heart that's trained in love, that's trained to be humble, a heart that it be at home with love, consumed by love, a thankful heart, a heart that's crafted to worship, a brave heart. You might simply say, you know, that's not mine. That's not my heart. I'm not always as humble. Or at least, I still have maybe a little more pride than God would want me to have. Or you'd say, well, you know, I am fearful. And I'm not able to be as brave as I ought to be. You know, we're a work in progress. Let's go back to the theme. The purpose of this life is to prepare us for the next one. And the purpose of the scriptures and the purpose of our spiritual family is to not just guide us to heaven, but to help us be at home when we get there. And that's the kind of home we have here. We want a home that's comfortable, we're glad to welcome friends, we're at ease in. It's a good comparison to say we are preparing to have a life at home with God, knowing what our home can be like here, and expand that to a home with many mansions and full of love and humility and purity and thankfulness, a heart that's crafted for worship and a bold heart. And we develop that every day of our lives. And so this week, the challenge for us is to be a little more loving, to be a little more at peace, to be a little more joyful, to be even more thankful, to have a greater desire and be comfortable really praising God and worshiping Him. A heart that gets braver every day of doing right, not just knowing right things to do. There's some other good news that we need to remember. You know, we have this kind of a blueprint or this pattern or this vision of what the heart would be. And the good news is we don't have to do that by ourselves. You know, well, I'm getting tangled up here. You know, God made a way to clean us up. And so when our heart's not brave enough, or when we have stains from impurities, when we have a broken heart, when we have a heavy heart, when our heart needs to be lifted, God does that. He cleans us up at baptism. He sustains us during those difficult times. And He makes us in a position to prepare ourselves to be at home with Him in heaven. So I'd like for us to think as we leave that our goal every day is to use this life to prepare us to be at home in the next life. I believe when we think that way, it changes the way we see the world, we see each other, and we look forward to not just getting to heaven, but being in heaven. I'd like to leave here this morning with confidence that everyone in this room is going to be at home in heaven. And there's provisions made. If you'd like to have a little help, or you just simply would like to say, I'm not sure I'm ready to be at home in heaven, there's folks here that'll help you. Remember, this week, the purpose of this life is to prepare ourselves for the next life. Thanks for having me, and have a good week.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well,
it is well with my soul.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
Thanks to everyone for being here this morning. Before Tom leads us in prayer, just want to mention, keep John Schumann in your prayers, Mary Farley, Talina, who had an emergency surgery earlier this week. I think she's doing well, but keep her in your prayers as well. Chuck and Shirley, there's a lot of folks that are sick and need our prayers and our love and support. So reach out to them, send them a card, drop off some food, just continue to love on them as all these folks are dealing with health issues.
I want to thank everyone for being out here today. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And I hope you can lose that weight that you gained before Christmas. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this day, we come thanking you, Lord, for another day of life, for the love and mercy that you've shown each of us. I ask, Lord, that you'd remember all those mentioned that are sick, been through surgeries and so forth. watch over and protect him. We'd ask, Lord, heal him from you through Jesus' name. We pray, God, that you'd be with each of us as we go to our separate homes. Help us to keep what was said today in our hearts, this week, and through our lives. And help us to always have a loving heart. We pray, God, to go with each of us. Bring us back again at the next appointed time. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.